This last week in chapel, I had some fun. And there's nothing wrong with having fun in church. Amen. And we are probably going to have some fun this morning too, because I'm going to bring an adult version of the kid version that I brought in chapel. I want you to take your Bibles with me, and I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. When you get there, I'd like you to stand up. And then I'm going to have some questions for you. And I want to see how good our adults do. I'm going to be honest. Our children did fantastic. Our adults, I'm going to suspect, will be suspect. But we'll see what happens. None of the BBCA kids are allowed to answer, because you've already heard this. Or teachers. Teachers didn't know the answers anyhow, but the kids got it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Jordan Jones, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to have a little bit of class time first. If you are upset with this, well, just kind of sit in there. Be calm. It'll be all right. Everything in nature, God has done. Now, there's some things that man has changed, you know, when it comes to nature. But all the wonder of nature and science, the Lord is in control of. If the great thing about our curriculum at the school is it marries science and the Lord together, doesn't try to keep them apart. It only goes over what God has done. It doesn't try to say what science has done. Science really hasn't done anything apart from God. God takes care of everything when it comes to the nature world, and God has done so many beautiful things. There's one particular thing I want to talk about, though, that goes a lot along with this verse. It's a wondrous change that takes place, and in the world, it calls it a metamorphosis, okay? A metamorphosis. I want to know, does anybody know a creature that goes through a metamorphosis? Is anybody willing to say? Now, did you hear from your daughters? Because if you parents heard from your daughters, you're cheating. Okay, how about you? Frog? Nah, some. They do. They do go through it. Preacher's got it because he won't raise his hand. See, I yelled all at my children for not raising their hands all the time. It is butterfly. Yes, it is. Can anybody tell me the most common that you, the first one you pop of in your head, what kind of butterfly you think of with raising your hands? Hey, children, take great joy in the fact that the adults are no better than you. I told you over and over again while you were answering out of turn that the adults do the same thing. I tell the kids that they have Pepto-Bismol mouths.
Oh, wow.
Because they have diarrhea that can't stop. Praise the Lord. So, Brother Mike, his face is as red as his shirt. Brother Mike can't stop from telling you the first butterfly he thinks of is monarch. Yes, I'm revealing my softer side this morning, and we're going to talk about some butterflies. Now, when we talk about these butterflies and the great changes that they make, isn't it wondrous how the Lord has done this very, very thing? Isn't it wondrous how God has taken care of this thing? Now, I'm going to stump a lot of folks with this one. There are four stages to the butterfly's life, four stages. Can you name the first stage of the butterfly? You, young lady. Not caterpillar. It is not caterpillar. Yes, Doc. What's that? No. Yes. Egg. We always start out with eggs. Start out your morning with eggs, for goodness sake. Very, very good. Egg is number one. Does anybody have any idea how many eggs a monarch butterfly lays? You can't answer the questions. Does anybody have any idea how many eggs a monarch butterfly lays at a time? Who wants to take a guess? Christine, Nice try. Anybody else? Brother Mike. Nice try. Good one. That's a scientific answer for you. They lay between 200 to 500 eggs every single time. Does anybody know the plant that monarchs lay their eggs on? There's only one, by the way, that monarch butterflies lay the green plant. Very good, Marie. Thank you very much for coming today. Ding! Wrong answer. What's that? Milkweed. Very, very good. The only plant that monarch butterflies lay their eggs on are the milkweed plant. I'm getting to that, Kenny. Here we come. The reason that they lay on the milkweed is because what's the second stage of the life of a, we've already said it by the way, the larva or the worm or the caterpillar, okay? That is the second stage of the monarch butterfly. The larva of the monarch butterfly can only eat milkweed. Desire ye the sincere milkweed. Anyways, so they can only eat milkweed. They only land on that plant. Milkweed is poisonous, which makes the worm poisonous, which makes the butterfly poisonous. Now, in the nature of things, in the greatness of God, birds don't eat the monarch butterfly. Do you know why they don't eat the monarch butterfly? Because they get sick. They get very sick. It doesn't take long for other birds to tell other birds, don't eat there, buddy. It makes you sick. If you go to Chipotle and they make you sick, you're going to tell everybody, don't eat there. Because it makes you sick, okay? So you don't. So they get sick, so they don't do that. Now, let me ask you a question. This is very good. And by the way, I'll preach here in a minute. I'm having fun right now, okay? I'm allowed to have fun in church. I always dog on you. Right now, I'm having fun. Now, there's a butterfly also in nature. I know. You have a child in my school. Okay. Now, anyways. There is a butterfly in nature. Now understand, the birds can't eat the monarch butterfly. But there's another butterfly that does something. God has provided something for this butterfly that helps it along the way. Joselle. I don't know how to say it, but C-I-C-E-R-O-Y. That's the Bobcat's battle cry. No, Viceroy, not victory, Viceroy. The Viceroy butterfly looks exactly like looks very similar to the monarch butterfly, but it's not the monarch butterfly. It's not poisonous. Doesn't even taste bad. But birds won't eat that one because of something that God has put into nature. It's a word that describes it scientifically, what it's done, because it looks very similar. Does anybody know what that word is? What is it? Copycat, the scientific term. Copyus catus in Latin. Anybody else know? Want to take a shot at it? Yes. Give me five, Rubik. All right. So we've got mimicry is something that these animals do that the Lord has allowed to happen that allows the Viceroy butterfly to look a lot like the monarch butterfly. That way, they don't get eaten by birds because birds look at them and say, you look like Chipotle. I'm not eating there. Okay? So we have the God has done something so miraculous and so wonderful. It showed the monarch butterfly, you must land here on this milkweed plant. It's the only plant you can land on to lay your eggs. It lays its eggs. Then they have the caterpillar. The caterpillar then does something very miraculous. It eats for a little while. I'll get to the day how much time it is here in a minute. But the caterpillars eat for a little while. Why? And I asked the kids this. This is simple and profound, but why would God have the monarch butterfly lay its eggs only on a milkweed plant? Yeah. That's it. Thank you. The answer's done. That's the only plant it'll eat. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I mean, let me kind of liken this to your life for a minute. Why do you want to come to an independent fundamental Baptist church? That's the only place you're going to eat. That's the only place you're going to eat. Now, you can disagree with me or not, but I'm going to tell you right now, unless you go to a church that teaches you truth, you're not going to eat. Oh, you can come to the church. You can go to a church that doesn't teach you truth or uses a rock band or coffee houses to bring you in, but I'm going to be honest with you, you're not eating at the right place. I told you I'd preach at you for a minute. Now, we know that the next stage is larva. Okay, we know that the next stage is that. What is the stage that is right after that? Now, see if you can give me the scientific term for a big fat cheroot for you. See if you can give me the scientific term. I got kids, no adults. No adults want to take a shot at this? Bob Edwards. Chrysalis is what it goes into, but what's the stage? That's very good, by the way. Not a cocoon chrysalis, but you do call it cocoon, but it's really not it. Miss Ruth, pupa stage, not pupil, pupa, okay? Now, if you look at this chart, I've even come with charts. If you look at this chart, it starts out as an egg, okay? Are you having fun this morning?
Yeah.
I'm having fun. It comes from this egg and goes into this worm. This worm is on the milkweed plant. Desire ye the sincere milkweed of the word. Okay? Now, you go from this to the chrysalis. Okay? The worm hangs upside down on this thing and stays inside this chrysalis. Then this thing becomes the butterfly. Can you tell me why there's another arrow right here? Why is there four stages? Devin! Circle. Yeah, it goes in a cycle. That's not what I'm looking for. Mitchell. Because the butterfly then lays these, and the cycle starts all over again. Now, I want to ask you this. What is the only, the monarch butterfly is the only butterfly that does this certain specific thing. Can anybody tell me what that is? Christina. Well, that's the swallows, but it migrates. The swallows go to Capistrano. Yes. Now, let me tell you about this, though. This is really interesting scientific fact, okay? It does. It migrates. It's the only one that does, okay? It migrates south. Matter of fact, there's groups out there right now trying to shut cars down for a couple of months out of the year because there's too many monarch butterflies that get smashed on windshields. That's the truth. That's crazy, but it's the truth. So we this monarch butterfly flies south for the winter. Do you know this? This is an interesting fact. The first three generations of monarch butterflies just make eggs and stay right where they are. They flutter around, eat out of plants, nectar, all this other stuff. The fourth generation is the only one that migrates. Four generations throughout the summer, the last generation, the fourth one, is the one that's strong enough to go south, stay there for the winter, come back up here and start the cycle all over again and become the first generation. It's interesting that God does these things. It's interesting that God, I believe in nature, a lot of times God tries to show us something. When I first started coming to church here, I'll never forget the message a preacher preached about the bumblebee. Never forget that in my entire life. According to science, the bumblebee should not be able to fly. That's the truth. According to science, the bumblebee, the thrust-to-weight ratio of a bumblebee makes it incapable of flying, but God says. And it does fly. Never forget that message. A lot of times in nature, we see things that God is trying to teach us. God is trying to show us things, the lily of the valley. He's trying to show us things, the rose of Sharon. He's trying to show us things in nature to let him know, listen, Christian, if you would just listen to nature. Remember when he said, hey, listen, if you would cease to praise me, what would cry out? See, I've got to be honest with you. God tries to show us things time and time again in nature that is very important for our lives. Now, we know that the butterfly lays between 200 and 500 eggs. How many, after the egg is laid, how many days is it between the egg hatching and having a caterpillar? How many days? Anybody know? Kenny? No. Anybody else? Yeah. Closer. Yeah. 5 days. 5 days after the egg, the worm hatches out. What's the first thing it does? Are you bored yet? I'm almost to the preaching, I promise you, but this is interesting stuff. What's the first thing the caterpillar does when it comes out? Anybody got an idea? Josel, it eats what? It does not eat the milkweed. It eats the egg first. The first thing the caterpillar does is come out and eat the remainder of that which was making it be born. And it's amazing to me that it eats that and then it goes on as an eating machine, literally consuming that entire plant if it could get a hold of that entire plant. Now, the different kinds of caterpillars, but every caterpillar is an eating machine. First it eats the egg and then it chomps on the plants. It gets bigger, but its skin does not grow with it. Not only does it not grow with it, it sheds its skin. So the caterpillar sheds its skin and grows a roomier one several times over the next few weeks. Then we have the chrysalis, which was what Brother Bob said. Finally, the caterpillar stops eating. Now it latches onto a plant. Its new skin hardens to form a tough covering called the chrysalis that keeps the caterpillar safe during the change to come. This all preaches here in a minute. Just hold on. It all keeps it safe during the change to come. Inside wings and antenna form, the caterpillar is turning into a butterfly. How many days does it stay inside the chrysalis? 14. 14 days inside the chrysalis. It opens up out of the chrysalis. It waits for its wet wings to dry and harden. And then finally it flutters away. Now, I want to, as I thought about this, and it's so interesting to know what God has done. It's so intriguing to me. I mean, if I was a bird, I wouldn't come back here. Think about that for a minute. You go to a place that is warmer, you go to a place that is more hospitable and easier to live in, but they come back here because God directs all of that. See, God directs the monarch butterfly to do what it does, to be the only butterfly that migrates south, fourth generation migrates south, and then lives down there until it can come back up here and start that cycle all over again. You know how many correlations there are between nature and how a Christian ought to live? You know how many correlations there are between what God has done and how many times we refuse to see the greatness of our Creator? The greatness of how God is. Is there anything more beautiful to look at than a butterfly fluttering? I know that sounds weird coming from me. But is there anything more beautiful than a butterfly fluttering on the breeze? It means summer's here, number one. Praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, amen. But how wonderful is God to make a creature that looks such? How wonderful is God to make something that it seems so simple? But honestly, this is not a very simplistic thing. As a Christian, we read this verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If we wouldn't have discussed anything that we had learned before, if you wouldn't know the four stages of the butterfly now, it's amazing to me how different the larva stage looks from the adult stage. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, how many people see a yellow and black and white ugly worm on a milkweed and say, oh, that's just beautiful? I mean, how many have looked at a worm and said, wow, that's gorgeous? I mean, I know a lot of the kids in my school look like worms, and nobody's ever talking about how good looking they are. You know, it's amazing to me how much that changes. The difference, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I don't think you can get much more new creature than a butterfly out of the chrysalis. I don't think you can get much more of a new creature than that old, ugly-looking larva that's there that transforms into something of such beauty, that changes in such a miraculous way. To go inside of a chrysalis and come out a butterfly is amazing to me. How good is God? As we look at your life and we look at my life, this is the thought that I started to get from this, how many correlations there are between what happens in the stages of a simple butterfly to what we have in our lives and how many times we miss the stages. You know, if you look at a butterfly, it's amazing to me that they know what to do by God's hand. It's amazing to me, if you take step back and take an overview, that they know, and you can say it's instinct, whatever you want. I believe it's God's leading. I believe instinct is put into an animal or put into nature because of God. I don't believe it's something they just automatically know. I think God put it there. I think God tells them what to do. I think God moves his hand and this is what they do. I think God takes care of that. You know, it's amazing in our lives. Nature has no problem obeying God. The swallows, like Miss Christina, they go to Capistrano every year without fail, within the same time frame every year without fail. The buzzards return to Hinckley every year without fail. The birds fly south just about the same time every year without fail. Our duck hunting schedule was hoping that the migratory birds would come south every year without fail, because God directs that life. God directs what they do, and God has done everything decently and in order in nature. It's not chaos to him. It's his work. It's what he does. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It's amazing that we are the only ones that won't. Well, I was having fun. That wasn't fun at all what you just said. I'm just stepping back and taking the major overview. But do you know it's amazing how little a Christian cares about the directing of God? What does God want for your life? What does God desire? Would you go? What would you do? Would you be one that would say, I am a new creature and I want to do what God wants me to do? We're the only one in nature that doesn't obey. The wind, the sea, they obey Him. Man does not. The only ones that need saving are us. The only ones with the souls and the spirit to call upon God. And if you're not saved in here today, what in the world are you waiting for? I am amazed that people would want to hold off on getting saved. I'm amazed that you wouldn't see the verses in the Bible that says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's amazing to me that we'll ignore those verses, and we as man who God has given the free will to choose to serve him or to not serve him, to follow him or to not follow him, we're the only ones that break God's law of following him. Nothing else breaks that law. Nothing else. Four generations of monarch butterfly every single year. Three of those generations just produce more and more eggs for the fourth generation so they can make it all the way down to Mexico and South America to migrate there. God directs that. It's not some day that they say, oh, evolution says that I should fly south. God says that. Man says evolution is real, not creation. Our earth does not say that evolution is how it got here. I don't have the time to spend with you to break up the thought of evolution. But evolution's got to be the dumbest thing we've ever thought of as man. That any one of us started as a puddle of ectoplasmic goo is amazing to me. That any one of you people feel that you have a monkey as an ancestor is amazing to me. When's the last time a monkey walked out of the jungle with the thoughts of a man? When's the last time? Oh, I know that some of us look like them. But I got to be honest with you, not one person, not if evolution is true, why aren't monkeys walking out of the woods every single day? Why aren't they coming around in business suits saying, hello? Because evolution's not true. But we're the only ones that break God's law of nature. We're the only ones. If you step back and look at an overview of what this, just this particular creature does, this butterfly, if we step back and look, it's got to be directed by God. A butterfly with a brain the size of the tip of a pin, the tip of a pin, knows to go to a milkweed and lay its eggs there. You don't see them laying them on a rose bush because they won't eat it. Their children will die. But if they lay them on a milkweed, they'll make it. Their brain is just big enough to believe God. As I look at some other correlations, it's amazing to me that the caterpillar does what it's supposed to do. The caterpillar does what it's supposed to do, and it knows that it's got limits. You don't see caterpillars migrating. You don't see them leaving the plant and migrating elsewhere. You don't see them saying, you know what, God, I really appreciate the milkweed, but I would rather have McDonald's. The caterpillar only eats what it's been given. We've only been given one word of God whereby to eat. One. We're not supposed to leave this and go looking for food elsewhere. We're not supposed to say, you know what, God, I know you gave me this plant. And this may sound stupid to you, but I think we need a little stupid right now in our lives. It's amazing to me how we think that we can find a better or better tasting or better for us plant, something that we can go to and be there, and it's okay. I got to be honest with you. If you're not preaching the Word, you're not preaching the Word. I'm amazed that we have a thought process in our minds. We're the only ones that go outside of what God has for us. And here's God giving us, having us here in this place. His Word has always been. It wasn't always the King James Bible. This is the Word of God in our language. It was Hebrew. It was Aramaic. It was Greek. You go back into history all you want to, it's still the Word of God. The Word of God has always been. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. This is so good. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Go into any other version of the Bible. Psalm 7 will say, thou shalt keep us safe from such people forever. What? Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Caterpillar, I've given you one plant. That's the one you must eat. If you go outside of this plant, you're going to die. You're not going to get the food that you need. It's amazing to me that we go out of this world, and let me tell you something, I might hurt some people's feelings today. But you cannot go out soul winning without the Word of God with you. I'm so sick and tired of the mamby-pamby Baptist crowd that's saying it's okay to take your RSV out soul winning. I'm so sick of this mamby-pamby crowd that says it's okay to take your RSV out soul winning. There's a reason that that caterpillar has to be on that plant and only that plant. See, that plant provides that poisonous protection for him later on in his life that saves him from predators. It's amazing to me that God has provided that very thing that will protect him in tough times, protect him in times when people are coming after him, protect him in times when he might be harmed. God has given us this Word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword that we can go out and battle and have that protection that God has given us. There's only one plant. There's only one Word. Caterpillar eats and eats and eats and eats. I would to God that Christians would have a desire to eat and eat and eat and eat. I would to God these Christians of today, they have no desire to get into this Word. Do you know this doesn't stay milk for long? We'll bump ahead in the butterfly's life in a minute. I'm bumping in yours. You know, it's amazing to me how we think we're full. We're Baptists. We're supposed to eat. That's what we do. I mean, we have a fellowship. Some sort of food is involved. There's 30 people in this room right now ready to lie their eyes out about reading their Bible so they can come for Guido's. You read the Bible? Oh, yeah. Where's Guido's at? Physically, food, well, we've got to have it. But what's amazing is when you need spiritual food, this doesn't stay milk for long. Eventually, you've got to graduate to meat. You've got to desire to eat more and more and more of this Word, to have more and more and more. And the caterpillar eats and eats and eats and eats. Because he knows there's a day coming. He knows there's a day coming when he's going to have to add action to what he's had digested. I'm glad you come in here and learn. I want you to. I want you to get everything you can out of that Word, but I've got to be honest with you, Jordan. You can learn all you want to about the Bible. You can know all the Word of God that you want, but if you keep it inside, what's it doing for you? See, it's not hard to tell that I haven't been exercising. I know it. You know it. Because I've been eating and eating and eating, but haven't done anything with it. Huh? As Christians, we eat and eat and eat. We come to church, no problem. But I wonder how many fat Christians know more about the Bible than a lot of people out in this world never share any one bit of it with it. you know, God is going, I get sick and tired of hearing, I'm so afraid to talk. I'm so afraid to tell somebody. Did you know that that caterpillar crawls into that chrysalis because it actually forms around him, it doesn't crawl into it. It forms around him as a protective barrier against things that would harm him. Do you know that the Lord does that for you when you go out and tell people about him? He forms a protective barrier around you. Take the word of God out with you. Take what you've been eating. Take what you've been feeding on. Take it out to the world and let them know, hey, I'm a Christian and I wish you to be too. How many of us are saved and have never seen another person get saved? How many of us are saved and you've never led somebody to Christ? I'm going to tell you right now, it scares my heart. I'm talking to me too. It scares my heart of how often I'd just rather stay on the milkweed. Just stay there and eat. Oh, just come to church. Whoever shows is fine. Without a desire in my heart to take what I've learned, take it out to the world and let them know who Christ is. This caterpillar for 14 days, it's amazing how many things are sevens, by the way. As you read these, amazing how many things are in sevens. God is so very good. He stays in this chrysalis for 14 days, and then out he comes. And can I help you a little bit? He comes out of the chrysalis. He doesn't look anything like he used to. He doesn't. Christian, you know, you ought not look like you used to look. Do you know that? You ought not look like you used to look. You ought to get rid of the concert t-shirts. Huh? You ought to get rid of the old tattered clothing you used to wear. That's all I can afford. Oh, don't give me that. Goodwill's got stuff for a dollar all the time. The worm doesn't come out of the chrysalis hoping to be a worm. Right? I mean, he doesn't go in there saying, man alive, when I get out, I'm going to be a big fat worm. Woohoo! He comes out as something he didn't even look close to before. Christian, when you get saved, you come to be something that you certainly were not before. Being somebody that was unsaved, a sinner, condemned to die in your sins and go to hell forever. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's where you're headed. This is not a joke time. This is not a fairy tale. It's not just some story. If you don't know the Lord, you're headed for hell right now. Why in the world would you want to go there? It is really real. Your friends are not going to be there ready to party with you. I used to hear it all the time when I was a kid. I used to hear it all the time. Well, I'm going to go to hell because that's where my buddies are. Well, your buddies may be there, but that's not a place where you want to be. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you better ask Him today because He will make you something you've never been before. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. You know, there's not a better illustration in my mind, old things passed away, but all things are become new, than a worm crawling into a chrysalis and coming out a butterfly. I mean, good Lord, a worm, ugly, nasty, into a butterfly, beautiful, and willing to close streets down for them. I mean, to me, they're not asking you to take away, please stop because it might hurt the caterpillar. They're saying, oh, please stop for the butterfly. But what's sad is we walk out into this world, they don't know who you are. They have no idea. You go walking around as a worm instead of flying around as a butterfly. You, in your life, you're sitting there as a Christian with this knowledge and this great salvation that's been afforded to you for nothing. And we don't go out into the world and let people know who we are. Do people at your job know you're a Christian? I'm not telling you to stand on a podium or get a pulpit and start preaching to them. Do they know you're a Christian? Do you walk out of the room when the dirty jokes start? Do you say, I'm not going to look at that magazine? I'm not going to do those things. You're a new creature. You ought not look the way you used to look. You ought not do the things you used to do. You ought to have a desire to change into something better. Yes, I was a worm. Unsaved worm. Yes, I was. But God saved my soul. I begged Him, oh Lord, please, I got to have You. I don't want to go to hell. Because that is the only other option. There's no purgatory that preacher and I are going to be able to baptize mummies for you to be able to get out. There's religions that teach that. Baptism by proxy. You don't even need to be baptized to go to heaven. You ought to be baptized because you love Jesus. You ought to be baptized because you love the Lord. And by the way, I'm going to help you out a little bit, and this may not make you real happy either. But if you're not willing to be baptized the way the Bible says to be baptized, how much do you really love God? Because God has given us very, very, very specific instructions. Only one plant, by the way. Only one. Here it is. He didn't land you on a rose bush. He landed you on a milkweed. And he did that because he wants you to eat of that one. Here it is. You're eating of it. Jesus walked 63 miles to be baptized by the authority that he set up here on this earth. Don't you tell me that there's not an authority to baptize. I didn't have that plan. Praise the Lord. This butterfly comes out. Do you know the butterfly doesn't want to go back in? I've never heard of one butterfly that desires to be a worm again. I've never heard of a monarch butterfly pulling apart the chrysalis he just broke out of and trying to fit himself back in. That may sound foolish to you, but you know what? You ought not want to go to the world you came out of. You ought not want to go back there. It's amazing. The children of Israel came out of Egypt. They always told Moses how they wanted to go back. Yet it was their cries unto God to get us out of this place that had God move his mighty hand. And there you are as an unsaved person. Oh, God, I need to be saved from this life. Oh, God, I don't want to go to hell. Oh, God, please take me out of these things I'm doing. And he does, and you can't wait to go back. How many Christians I know of that God saved them from something or out of something? God took their lives and they came into something beautiful and wonderful for God. And they just said, you know what, I'd just rather be a worm again. You ought not want to go back to the world. First of all, Christian, don't you think you ought to come out of it? Huh? Don't you think you ought? Boy, this started out fun. We was all laughing 10 minutes ago. I told you it preached if you just hold on. Don't you think you ought to want to come out of the world? Don't you think you ought to want to turn the TV shows off that have all that filth in them? Don't you think you want to put the magazines that have all the filth in them? Don't you think you want to get rid of them? I mean, don't you think that you want to turn your computer off and just praise God for a while? I'm going to tell you, I wonder what the percentage of people in this room that didn't read their Bible throughout the year because their computer was on. Listen, you say, well, but you know what, preacher? I'm so sick and tired of hearing you talking about the computer. Well, I'll tell you what. If you go ahead and prioritize that computer in your life correctly, I'll stop preaching about it. I'm talking about prioritizing it correctly. If you tell me you give 2.4 hours of your day to the Lord, that's 10%. That's a tithe of your time. If you give that tithe of your time to the Lord, then we'll start talking about your computer usage. Otherwise, you're grounded until further notice. Number one cause of divorce in America today used to be money. You know what it is today? You love this when I say it. Facebook. Why? Because old flames can hook up with new ones. You can't go back to that world. My high school sweetheart got a hold of me and she sure is pretty. You can't go back to that time. You can't go back to that time. You can't go back. God's got you here. God's got you in this time for this purpose. God has directed you here. Why would you want to go back there where God brought you out of? The monarch butterfly does not sit on that same place and say, I'm not leaving. I love this too much. I'm going to go back inside where my old self was and see if I can change back. Once you're saved, you can't change back. And you shouldn't have the desire to change back. You should have a desire to be different. Well, I'm just going to try the world out for a while. The devil's lying to you. You don't want to try that world out for a while. You want to come out of that world. This preaching ain't popular anymore, I guarantee you that. Nobody wants to, oh, love and let love. That's all we got to do today is love one another. Just love them all. And you should love each other and you should care about each other. But love sometimes smacks a kid's hand and touches the stove. Love doesn't let your child run around the house with a butter knife waiting to stick it into the light socket. Love says, hey, dummy, don't run with knives. That's the first thing a parent says. The second thing is, give me the knife. Love sometimes needs chastening. And our Baptist churches have gotten filthy with stupidity of trying to get you to love us. I don't care if you love me ever. I want you to love Christ. And to love Him, you can't go back into that little cocoon. You can't go back into that life. You can't do it. You can't do it and tell me you love God. Once you change, once you're changed, the butterfly gets wings. I know this is a really profound question. Brother Jesse, why do butterflies have wings? Do butterflies have wings so they can walk? Is that the dumbest thing? Brother Dave, you're just getting dumb. You know what? I got to be honest with you. I look at this stuff because God put it here for a very specific reason. Butterflies have wings, else they wouldn't make it down to Mexico. Butterflies have wings because they're done eating milkweed. Butterflies have wings because it's time to take what they have learned and what they know, and they've got to take it on the road. They look different. What else besides a viceroy looks like a monarch? It's not difficult to tell when a butterfly comes around. Looks like a butterfly. You know how many times I've had somebody tell me, are you a preacher? I look like one. I left the milkweed. I look like one. I'm going to tell you right now, it matters what you look like. It matters what you look like. It matters what you smell like. It matters how you keep yourself cleaned up. It matters that you're not out there doing the wrong things and trying to tell somebody about the right things. Don't go into a bar trying to tell somebody how to win souls to Christ. The butterfly has a specific purpose. They are tired of being here with all the knowledge that they have. They want to take it out somewhere and be prettier than they've ever been. The Bible says how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the great tidings of the gospel. And there's one thing that's nasty on you, it's your feet. Every single last one of you. Feet are not pretty. I don't care if you paint up your toenails. I mean, Brother Colton's been doing that for years now. His feet are still ugly. I'm just sitting here, man. You didn't need to do that to me. Feet are ugly. But feet are what you need to move. And the Lord says, how beautiful is it when you take the gospel out? Not how beautiful it is when you talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers and the recent acquisitions throughout the trade deadline. Nothing wrong with talking about the Cavs. Boring subject, but nothing wrong with it. But don't you think that God wants you to be something for Him? Don't you think God has a very big interest in you? God didn't make a butterfly to stick around and not be what it's supposed to be. It's obedient. It does what it's supposed to do. You know what, kids? It does what it's supposed to do. As a student, what are you supposed to do? Think about this now. That's why I get so aggravated with students. Why? What do I want you to do? I want you to study, show an effort. I'm not asking for A's. I'm asking for effort. Amen? I know that some kids aren't going to get A's in our curriculum. It's a difficult curriculum. I understand that. I didn't make an easy curriculum. I got a hard one because I want the kids to be challenged. So I've got kids that I want an effort from. Why? Because I want you to be something better than you think you can be. I want you to be better. I've never told a kid, just go ahead and do nothing, Jordan. That'd be great today. I'm willing to accept you being nothing. That's what the world is telling the kids today. I don't want them to be nothing. I want these kids to be something. Let me tell you, you don't watch a monarch butterfly go by and say, man, that's ugly. Ho-hum. There's people all over this planet that run around with nets chasing them dumb things just to get a closer look at them. I've got to be honest with you, your Christian life, you ought to look different and the world will know it. The world will know that you're pretty. The world will know it because you're out there traveling doing what you're supposed to do. And by the way, God is so good. This may be difficult to take for a while. This may not be very good tasting at first. Sometimes the Bible isn't. I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes the Bible doesn't taste very good because it tells you who you are. But you know, the butterfly doesn't eat the milkweed very long. And it goes out and starts sucking sweet nectar out of flowers. And eventually this Bible is going to be the same to you. Eventually, instead of hate mail, this becomes a love letter. That's good stuff. You can write that down if you want to write that down. That's good stuff right there. See, many people look at this as something, well, it's restricting me. No, this is setting you free. You do what God wants you to do, and God will give you success. God will give you what you're supposed to have. God will take you in the direction that you're supposed to go. And if God's leading you and God's directing you and God's taking care of you, how in the world can we fail? All these years, 6,000 years of being here, that butterfly still does what it's supposed to do every year. Every year, fourth generation flies down to Mexico or south because they're smarter than we are. They go down there. They live until it's warm enough back up here, and they come on back up and lay more eggs. That's what they do. That's what they're supposed to do, year after year, generation after generation, doing what God has commanded them to do. And here in America, we get a generation that wants to serve God. Here we are in another generation. Are we going to serve God? Are we going to do what God has asked us to do? Because I've got to be honest with you. I'm worried that this cycle is going to stop. We have babies. This is what makes me nervous. We have babies. We have kids that are sitting on that little milkweed plant, eating, doing the best they can. I would to God parents would have them eat. I would to God parents would set their table for Jesus Christ. Amen. I would to God that I wouldn't have to battle your kids on what movies they see. Parents, do whatever you want to. I can't come into your home. I can't come into your room and tell y'all not do it. I'll do it here, though. Why would you want your child to watch a rated R movie? Why would you want your child to watch a PG-13 movie? Why would you desire that? Why would you desire to have adults cussing at your children from that box? See, these are the babies. These are the babies that are never going to get to this point of protection because they won't learn. Because we're not teaching them. I'm worried that the cycle's going to stop right here. I'm worried that the cycle will stop and these babies will never break forth out of that cocoon, out of that chrysalis that they have in their life and do something for God. There's nothing more important, Autumn Shell, than doing something for God. Nothing. There's nothing more important than doing something for God. Because that's what breaks the cycle. When God's left out of this, that's what breaks the cycle. It breaks the cycle of Christianity. Let me show you the Christian cycle. A sinner. Get saved. Learns about God. And goes out and wins others. He goes back to that milkweed and lays all kind of eggs there. Why? So more people can come and more people can do that cycle. It's a good thing that the cycle didn't stop with you. Come on now. You stay with me for a little while longer. Your roast is just fine. It's a good thing that that cycle didn't break with my preacher. Because my preacher decided, I'm not going to break that cycle. I'm going to go down and start a church on Galena Street. You said, well, he's a pastor. The pastor didn't win me to Christ. A man named Ron Brown, who has since broken the cycle, led me to Christ. He didn't know who I was. He didn't know at 11 years old this little boy was coming into this building of his, this church, in a storefront on Galena Street. He didn't know that. He didn't know I was going to go in that upper room. I ought to be. I'm glad I got saved in an upper room, for goodness sake. That sounds about right. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a good thing that he didn't break the cycle so I could get saved. It's a good thing Ron Brown that day didn't break the cycle. It's a good thing. I don't want to break the cycle. I don't want to stop seeing babies born. You know the greatest thing in the whole wide world your babies can do? Is grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing in the whole wide world. That little baby is in Nicole Browning's arms right now, sitting in church service. She's asleep, believe me. She's hearing me. The problem is God has given you a very, very wondrous gift called salvation. And if we don't do what we're supposed to do with it, we break that cycle. If the butterfly misses one day of laying eggs, the cycle is broken and there is no more. Tell me I'm wrong. If the butterflies don't do their job as adult butterflies, there's no more butterflies. As adult Christians, if we don't do our job, there's not going to be any more Christians. No, there won't be. I'm glad people get saved inside this building. But do you know that's not the job of this building? The job of this building is to help people that are sick to get better, to help people that are weak to become strong, to help worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to show up and sing wondrous hymns. Why? To get yourself stronger, to go out there and show how beautiful you are. You see that butterfly in the air, you don't have to think for 5 minutes. I asked you, what butterfly do you think of? I'm telling you right now, everyone in your mind, I'm sure, thought monarch. The second one may have been swallowtail, may have been viceroy, if you want to get scientific with me, but I bet you the vast majority of you thought of that. What's that orange and brown one? Probably because you're Cleveland Browns fans. Let me tell you, they're not near as pretty as the monarch butterfly. I'll give you that right now. You know what? Let me tell you something. I would like people to look at me and say, you know what? That's a Christian right there. He goes by, I know for sure that man's a Christian. I know he's a Christian. You know why? Why? Boy, I tell you, when I go to the hospital, you say what you want to. When I go to the hospital, I like to go with this. I really do. I love to go with my Bible. First of all, you spend a lot of time in the hospital. I need something to read. And, you know, Vanity Fair, Red Book, that doesn't do it for me. I'll just go ahead and take the book. But more than that, first of all, I have this sitting out. Nobody sits by me. Glory to God. But they know that I'm a Christian. They know it. I want one more thing. There's going to be another great transformation that we're going to go through. Another great transformation. Turn with me. Can you go 1 Corinthians 15 with me? Can you go there with me? 1 Corinthians 15. I believe I've got this right. And we're going to look in verse 51. See, God's not done changing you yet, but he's got you into a position that you can be used. If you're saved in here, you can be used for God. How many would say amen to that? But that's not the only change that God's going to give us. Glory to God, amen. If you look at this, Bible says in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. How are we going to be changed? This corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, glory to God, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did you go to there? Because this last verse. That's what I want you to see. Therefore, my beloved brethren. Hey, listen. I've given you everything you need down here. Your change is coming. But it's not here yet. So while we're here, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The butterfly does what it does because God commands it. Christians, we ought to do what we do because God commands it. Somebody helped you. Somebody served God for you. Some adult Christian or somebody came to your life and helped you to be reborn. Somebody did. The Word of God came to you through somebody, or you didn't get saved. They did their portion of the cycle. Will we do ours? Therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I know this is a little silly today. I know this is a little different today. But Christian, we live in a beautiful, wondrous world that God has given us. We really do. And the things that God does are so amazing to me. The correlations that we can make between these things, they're not by chance. Did you know that God only made one kind of people Christians? Those are the redeemed. It's not about your church. It's not about being Catholic or Presbyterian. It's not, the Catholics don't go to heaven, the redeemed go to heaven. The Baptists don't go to heaven, the redeemed go to heaven. The monarch is the only butterfly that migrates all the way down to Mexico. The only one. I don't know why that is, but God does. And I'm going to tell you, Christian, He's given us the job to make sure there's other Christians. That's our job. That's our job. To leave this place. Be steadfast. Unmovable. So unmovable doesn't mean leaving this place. Good one. Good one. Yeah, good one. Good one. It's unmovable in the things that you have heard and seen of me. The same. Teach thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's the cycle. You've got to share with others what's been shared with you. That's everything in a nutshell. Come out of the world or you can't do the things. You got to get in the chrysalis before you can become a butterfly. You got to do what God's asked you to do. You've got to do it in God's way. And here we are, knowing the truth. Knowing it. And we're the only ones that break nature's course. We're the only ones that decide to let the cycle stop with us. You know what, Bethel? I don't want the cycle to stop with us. It's amazing to me how many eggs the butterfly lays and I'm all done. 200 to 500. I would to God we could have as many conversions as that. I would to God, Brother Bill, I would to God we could witness that many times. 200 to 500. I would to God we would pass out 200 to 500 tracts in a year. I'm sorry, not even in a year. Just in one generation of butterfly, they lay that many. They witness that many times. I would to God we could do that. You say that's silly. I'm going to tell you, you want to see somebody led to Christ, you're not going to do it by only doing it once in a while. You're going to do it by saying it over and over and over and over and over and over. And Brother Gray told me that about 15 out of every 100 people that he witnesses to actually get saved. About 15. It's not your job to save them. It's your job to tell them. 200 to 500 times. God is so good to us. He's so patient. It's so wondrous what He does for us. He allows us to be what we are. He allows us to do that. I mean, He really does. And I wonder if it's in hopes that we become something so much better. Not willing to break the cycle of Christianity, willing to promote it and see more people get saved. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for this morning. Oh God, please. Please help us to use this wonderfully intricate and simple, just so simple. God, you're so good and you're so wondrous and you're so almighty. The things that you do and the things that this earth gives us and the things that we see. Lord God, I wish our lives would mirror your greatness. I wish our lives would show forward to the people how wondrous our God is, how great our Jesus is. Lord, it's right there. We've been born and we've been born again. Lord God, help us to break loose of the world, break free from the world. Even our Christians are so tied up in the world that they can't get out of it. Lord God, help us to break free. Help us to show the world that there still is a wonderful God. And he still saves today. His blood is still just as powerful as it's ever been. He still forgives sins. He still loves in spite of who we are and because of who we are. Lord God, you're so wonderful. Please let us realize that. Let us tell the world. Let us tell the world how wonderful you are. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say, I know that I know, 100% sure that if I were to die right now, that I would go to heaven to be with the Lord? You can put your hands up real big and tall, please. You may put them down. As I looked around the room, I didn't see anybody that didn't have their hand up, but I'm still going to ask. How many can say, you know what, I really don't know. I don't know. And if you don't know, you are going to hell. If you don't know, that there is no other place. It's heaven or hell. Here it is. If you don't know him, you need to know him. You must know him. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God makes it easy enough for us to just accept it. Would there be one that would be willing to raise their hand and say, you know what, preacher, I don't know, but I sure would like to know. Could you put your hand up real big and tall? I don't know, but I want to know. Then I'm talking to a bunch of Christians in here today, and I'm going to tell you right now, somebody dealt with you for your salvation. I would that we would not stop that cycle. We must propagate the gospel. We're the only one that can. Dear Jesus, I'm begging you today, have your will and way in this invitation. Lord, help me to love you like I should. Help me to serve you like I should. Help me, Lord, to do what I'm supposed to do, to not break that cycle of being a Christian. Oh, God, help me. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together. What are we singing, Brother John? Number 401, the altar's open. Come on forward.